Wow, it's an honour to be here, Ben. Thank you so much for having us. Oh, it's been great. I just want to start off by sharing, you know, in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, God was with them. He was with Adam walking in the garden. He was with Moses on the mountain. He was with him. He was with Daniel in the lion's den. And the beautiful difference, guys, that we get to walk in after the cross and after the blood of Jesus is Colossians chapter 1 verse 27 says, this mystery that was hidden from ages and generations now has been revealed to the saints, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we get to walk in something better than what they had. And what God's really been showing me lately, and what, because what I want to share, guys, is what really fuels me and motivates me to go out on the streets to share the gospel. And lately, it's amazing having God inside of us, but I'm in him as well. And that's beautiful, guys, because it says in Colossians 3, verse 3, we are hidden with Christ in God. So it's sort of like Christ is in me, and that's great, that he's dwelling inside of me and I'm carrying him. That's good for me. But the fact that I'm in him and he's on me and all around me is great for others to see. You know, Christ in me is amazing for me. But the fact that he's on me and all around me is for the world to see. In James chapter 1 verse 17, it says, every good gift comes from the Father of lights. And we are the lights that he's the Father of. We shine so bright, guys. We are the light of the world now. No matter where we go, no matter how dark it is, no matter how sinful they are, we are carrying the light of the world, guys. We can't get slimed with any darkness they've got, but with the light that we are carrying, they'll get slimed with that. What we're carrying is so much more than what they have in the world and what any kingdom of darkness or kingdom of hell have. You know, we've got a short clip. Is that ready, Joel? We've got a short clip we're going to show. This is to show you guys that this thing is simple. It's so simple. Don't matter how you're dressed, don't matter how you look, don't matter how young or how old you are, God can use you. In 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3, it says that, you know, Satan corrupted Eve by corruption of the mind, and he wants to corrupt us from the simplicity that is in Christ. This thing is so simple, guys. Someone once told me an annoying teacher makes the simple sound complicated, but an anointed teacher will make the complicated sound simple. Guys, this thing is simple. A little child should be able to understand. I'm redeemed, blood washed, spirit filled. Now I can go out and spread this thing. God bless you guys. And guys, every one of you is not going to remain the same after today.
Amen. Amen.
Sound hallelujah.
You know what? This gospel that we're preaching, bruv, is the same gospel that Peter said, listen, crucify me upside down. I will not deny Jesus Christ. You know, Stephen got stoned to death. I will not deny Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Paul, bruv, people think they make mistakes and I'm not worthy to go out and share the gospel. Listen, bruv, they ain't killed no one. They ain't killed Christians. Paul was murdering Christians, children of the living God. God turned his life upside down and he went and turned the world upside down.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, ankle be healed right now.
Don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything.
Should be functioned. We command you to leave right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because you're going to heal.
Check that, sir. How's that feel?
Better.
Amen. Amen. How does that feel, Julia? Feel good, yeah?
Yeah?
You feel fresh, yeah? Jesus is alive, my sister. That's the presence of God. Feels strong, innit? And all stress syndrome is leaving his body.
How do you feel?
Be healed by the power in the name of Jesus. love her so much. Thank you for touching my hand.
It's fine.
What do you mean?
It's not hurting.
Jesus!
I swear to God. Oh my goodness.
That is Jesus.
We don't care what his body says. We believe the word of God.
This is the gospel we are preaching of love and power and the cross. We've seen so many lives changed and healed today. You know, it's been an amazing time.
Jesus.
Without the crutches.
Jesus. That's the power of Jesus right there. You know what? Keep the relationship tight, man.
Definitely.
God bless you.
I'm going to cross the word out.
You know what? Please share it. Because people think we're crazy, man. Share it. It's for Jesus. He's just so real.
Amen. Hallelujah. And guys, you know what? As beautiful as that is, and as powerful as that is, guys, each one of us can walk in that. Because before, I understand the fivefold, and you know, it's amazing. All I know is, guys, I'm a son. Before anything, I have a relationship with my dad, an intimate relationship with nothing in the way, and he loves me so much. And guys, what fuels us to go out like that is not the law. I just want to hit a few things straight here because, you know, sometimes, you know, people think, oh, we're going evangelism and we must go evangelism. It's not sort of, you know, like a regulation as such. It's something that we love doing. We get to do it. It's something that's effortless. It's something that what has helped me is the fact that I've died a long time ago. It's amazing. I'm not trying to die daily. I died 2,000 years ago at the cross. And there's a difference. Because if I'm still trying to die daily, that means I didn't die in the first place. Because you can only die once. Jesus died once and for all. Hebrews 10:10 says we've been sanctified by the offering once and for all. He died, his blood shed once. The same way, guys, if someone dies, they die once, right? If I'm trying to die daily, maybe I die 10% one day, 60% another day, and I'm on this journey trying to die, but I'm never really dying. In Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. Not I'm trying to crucify myself every day, but I have been. I've already been crucified. Something that, and you know, the Amplified takes it a step further. It says, with him, I shared his crucifixion. That's crazy, guys. We shared his crucifixion. He didn't just die for us, he died as us. And guys, the fact that we shared his crucifixion, imagine you tried to die daily, it wouldn't work. If you try to crucify yourself, that's impossible. You might put one nail through one hand, and how are you going to nail yourself if you're crucifying yourself? Your feet, your hands, the rest of you. It's physically impossible to crucify yourself. You can only be crucified if someone's crucifying you. When Jesus was crucified, we were crucified with him, guys. And the benefits of walking like you died is so amazing, guys. It set me free because this was a journey, you know, seeing miracles like this, you know. But before anything, guys, the miracles don't define who I am. Before anything, I'm a son of God. I don't press into the supernatural, you know, at the cost of, you know, I'm an evangelist and, you know, this is my... Guys, I'm just a son. And I know I'm righteous and I know I died a long time ago. And out of that, I just want to go spread this, you know. And the beautiful thing about knowing you died, guys, people's opinions won't be able to shake you. There was times in London Underground when we'd pray for people and we'd get rejected. And some of them would say, F off. Some of them would swear. Some of them would turn us away. And at first, yeah, we'd feel like rubbish. You know, we'd feel like trash. But it was... You know, then I got into, when I started reading Ephesians 1 and knowing how accepted I am in God, and I started knowing that, listen, I can never be rejected by no matter what they say. I'm accepted by the Creator. Their rejection doesn't determine, it shouldn't determine how I feel or what way my day goes or how I should pray for someone. Or how, the fact that God accepts us, The Creator accepts me. He's on my side. He accepts me. He determines my day. And how he sees me is way more important than what a homeless man sees me, how a Muslim man sees me. So a little bit of rejection, guys, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? It's so amazing. And, oh, guys, it's been amazing knowing that I've died, that the pressure is off. You know, because the last thing I want to do, guys, is come here and share on my heart and put a pressure on you to go out and share this thing. It's not a pressure, guys. He sweated blood. He received maximum pressure. So we never have to go through pressure again. You know, so I don't want to put a burden on you guys like that or a pressure. I want to tell you guys, this thing is easy. It's so, so easy. The hard work's done, guys. You know the film Rocky, Rocky Balboa? You know, when Rocky's fighting in the ring, he's getting bloody and he's getting beaten. And he wins the fight and he's a conqueror. When he gets that check and gives that championship to his wife is more than a conqueror. What am I trying to say here, guys? His wife wasn't in the boxing ring fighting, getting bloody, getting bruised, getting beaten. But she gets to enjoy the benefits of that and she's walking in the place of victory from Rocky, what Rocky accomplished in the ring. The same way, guys, it wasn't our wounds that we are healed by. We weren't there getting whipped. But our Savior, our amazing Savior that was crushed so we can walk in this thing. He was the one who paid it all for us. Now, he conquered it so we can be more than conquerors. Do you see how amazing this is, guys? Guys, our chain was broken by the blood of Jesus so we can go out and break the chains of others. I love what our brother said earlier on that. You know, we've experienced it to know it, go and, you know, share it everywhere we go. You know, everywhere we go, because, guys, if we truly believe that, you know, we have to, we're born again to be saved. What that means is us, we're born again, but everyone who's not born again at this second is perishing. They're entering hell. And I myself got to a place in my life some months ago where I was so enjoying the love of God. And it's so amazing when you get the revelation of grace and how righteous you are. And God really woke me up to the truth that I've experienced his grace so I can extend that grace onto others. You know, with the righteousness that I'm carrying, what am I doing with it? Because it's so amazing being free myself. But our chain was broken so we can set other people free. Break the chain, break the bondage of what they're doing. Because we're literally Jesus on earth now. We're literally Holy Spirit filled, and now we are here to you know, show the world what Jesus looks like. And me knowing I died, not that I'm trying to die, because even in Colossians 3, verse 3, it says, for we died, and our life is hidden with Christ in God. So it's this thing where we've already died. Because if you're trying to die daily, you're going to be in a constant battle trying to fight with your flesh instead of going out and producing fruit, knowing that it happened once and for all, and we're free. Because what the gospel does, it sets you free from yourself. I died a long time ago. And you know, what helps me going out is the fact that it's 0% about me. I died. So if I get rejected, if I get spat at, if I get sworn at, it doesn't matter. Because it's not about me. I died a long time ago. And it is about Jesus shining through me. Do you know what I mean, guys? And we can all do this, guys, because Jesus is so amazing. He didn't just say, listen, guys, you go and do the work and I'm sitting up in heaven. You know, he gave us the tools to do it. He gave us the Holy Ghost, guys. We are filled with the Holy Ghost to go and manifest that towards others, guys. And it's so amazing, guys. So one of the things that really fuels me to go out is the truth that I died a long time ago. Is that I'm dead, and it's not my emotions that determine whether I pray for someone or not. It's not how I feel, or if I feel to do it, or if I feel happy, or if I feel sad. It's just the fact that I died, and now Jesus is flowing through me. And when I died, guys, the pressure is off me, because it's not my confidence. It's not my strength. It's not my sweat. I died. Forget about me. Forget about how I look. Forget about who I am. Forget about what my name is for a minute. Jesus lives in me. And before every resurrection, there has to be a death. And before we manifest him, before we start spreading him, let's know that we died. Our old man is gone. We're dead, but Christ lives through us. We manifest him, guys, and that resurrection power that's dwelling on the inside of each Christian is banging down the door to get out. Spurgeon, I love what Spurgeon said. He said, the gospel doesn't need to defend itself. It's like a lion. You just let it out of the cage. It'll defend itself. The Holy Ghost, that lion that's dwelling inside of us, wants to just get out, guys, and spread it everywhere. Because I might not be able to reach the people Chris and Von can reach. I might not be able to reach the people that Linda can reach. You know, people that are a bit older, or you know, your circles and your sphere of influence. The same way with Christian and that. You know, in their unis and everywhere we go, guys, we can all do this. It's so amazing, guys. And another thing is to know the truth that I am righteous. Whenever I'm out on the streets, I have it on the forefront of my mind that I'm going out as the righteousness of God. And I am not a sinner, I am a saint. I'm sanctified, I'm accepted, I'm holy. And now I'm going out to spread that fruit. Because the beautiful thing about fruit is it has seed in it, and you know, it falls and produces after its own kind. I was in Abu Dhabi a few months back, and after the conference, we were in the hotel, and there was a Muslim man there, and he was the receptionist. And I felt on my heart, I need to speak to him. But instantly, the five senses kicked in. And I started feeling like, oh, mate, I shouldn't do this. I started hearing the whispers of the enemy start saying, look, Daniel, you know you're going to look very, very stupid if this guy doesn't get healed. I started hearing these things, and for a second, they tried holding me back. And then I just looked at the atmosphere. I saw the Muslim man working. There was a Muslim security guard there and a couple of others there on the left and right. And I said, God, you know what? I'm just going to do it, man. I was at a point where I'm either going to act on the word or I'm going to act on how I feel and my emotions and the five senses. And I had to move beyond that and just step. Sometimes I just had to tell my brain to just shut up. And listen, you don't have a say in this. It's the word of God, my inner man, and manifesting through my spirit, my flesh, and my soul. And it's sort of like, because even the song by Matt Redman, Lord, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Sometimes you have to tell your soul to bless the Lord. Sometimes your soul has to be told in what direction to think and move. And I was in a place where my soul couldn't, I didn't want to let it determine what way it goes because I was getting so many voices, man. And I moved with what the word says that, you know, I'm carrying this. And Jesus said, go into the world. And I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to tell him he's loved. God loves this guy unconditionally, and he needs to know that, man, because, you know, time is short. Time is ticking, and I don't know what's going to happen with him. You know, he might, you know, his time might be up in a couple of days. And if he don't know Jesus, you know, eternity, man, he's gonna perish for eternity. And I just thought, you know what? I just went up to him and I said, listen, mate, I'm very sorry to bother you. I just wanted to tell you that Jesus Christ loves you very much. And he said, I'm a Muslim. I'm from Egypt, and I've been employed to work here. And he said, my name's Ahmed. And I said, listen, Ahmed, I'm a Christian, but I'm not here to stuff this down your throat and just tell you my God is better than yours and, you know, what you're doing is wrong. I said, listen, I'm here to tell you God loves you and we're seeing so many people healed. And I knew that he needed a healing. And he started opening up himself and he said, my knee has been hurting. If it's that real, show me. And I thought, oh gosh, all right then. Because the security guards were walking about and, you know, we're in a Muslim country now. And I just said, you know what? All right, cool. And I got down on one knee and I said a very simple prayer. I wasn't praying in tongues. I wasn't shouting. It was just a simple prayer. I said, in Jesus' name, move right now. Get off his leg. I don't care what the doctor says or what his flesh says. By the broken body of Jesus Christ and the authority in the name, I command this to go right now. And I lifted my hand up and his jaw dropped. And without a lie, guys, the atmosphere just changed. I'm not one for feelings. I don't really like moving by feelings. But sometimes, God, sometimes when that presence, that glory just manifests, the atmosphere just shifted. And it was like, you know, it was like the security guard came over and he was watching now. A couple of guys from outside came in and they were watching. And he was like, listen, he was like, my legs just got completely healed. It was hurting for 7 years. Doctors have tried to make this better and it's gone. And I said, listen, sir, you know, that's the healing. But Jesus wants your heart, the healer, him, you know, he's given you this so you can know him as a father, as a friend. Because it's so amazing, guys. You know, I could have just left him and got healed. And, you know, he can still get healed and go to hell. You know what I mean? I was on my heart that, guys, I really want his soul into the kingdom of God. And I want him to get born again. And I literally just said, listen, bro, would you like to accept Jesus? And he said, no. He said, I've been a Muslim all my life and no. He said, listen, when I get home, though, secretly, I'm going to whisper to Jesus. And I'm going to say, Jesus, my family have taught me all this. And if this is true, I'll ask him when I get home. But he said, look, brother, there's Muslim brothers all around here. I don't want to accept him right now. Please respect that. And I said, mate, that's fine for me. Do it when you get home. Sometimes in secret it's better. And he didn't accept Jesus right there on the spot. But what I was saying about fruit, it has seed in it. And when it falls, it produces after its own kind. One of the guys there who was watching, I started talking to him about Jesus and eternity. And you know how God wants his heart, not only when he goes to heaven, but he wants to know him now as a friend, as a best friend. and he was talking about his daughters, and I said, listen, mate, you wouldn't, how amazing would it be if you know where your daughters are going when they die, if they can know him? And he surrendered his life to Jesus by seeing that miracle and us sharing the gospel with him. So, you know, sometimes, guys, it's so amazing to just spread it. If they don't give their life to Jesus straight away, people around them will. You know what I mean, guys? And so knowing I'm righteous made me make that step that day, because I knew that no sin, nothing that I've ever done is holding God back. It's God's will for this man to be healed. You know, God's not holding anything back. And you know what fuels me and what motivates me, just as a person, that I'm righteous, I'm blood washed. And now all the saints in heaven, all the angels in heaven are rooting me on. They're all the saints that have gone before us, because folk like talking about Smith Wigglesworth all the time, and I love it, you know, such an inspiration. The first book I was reading before the Bible was Smith Wigglesworth on faith, and I love all that, but I believe they're up there, not just waiting for us to stay at the same level as them, but for us to jump on their shoulders and take this thing to the next level. And, you know, so it's amazing that Smith Wigglesworth did this, guys, but I know that it happened through a revivalist, one man. It happened through, you know, John G. Lake. And these things were happening through revivalists. But what I'm seeing around the UK, that, guys, it's now happening through ordinary sons and daughters of God. The time is over for a one-man revivalist doing it all on his own. Ordinary sons and daughters of God. Now's the time to practice this authority. And we can all do it, guys. We can all do it. It's so amazing, guys. And, you know, so what's been helping me, guys, is because people often ask me, how do you get confident? Where do you get this boldness from? I just believe it. That's it. I just believe Proverbs 28 verse 1, that the righteous are as bold as a lion. And if I'm righteous and if I'm redeemed and reconnected back to God, and, you know, he's on my side, I have boldness of speech now. It doesn't matter what anyone says, all of heaven is on my side. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, with the righteousness I stand in, I want to now go spread that towards others. With the unconditional love I've received, I want to now become that towards others. With the total forgiveness I have now received and experienced, I want to go and manifest that towards others, guys. It's so powerful. And with the Holy Spirit that I've got inside of me, I want to let it drop and drip and be so contagious over every person around me, guys. It's so amazing, guys. I believe now's the time, guys, for heaven to break into this temporary realm, and it's going to happen through us, guys, through me and you, normal sons and daughters of God. It's so amazing that God is using now. I'm hearing testimonies of young people, like school kids, 5-year-olds and 10-year-olds, just going out into their schools, into their playgrounds, healing the sick and leading them into, you know, leading them into salvation. You know, one of my friends was telling me the other week, 5 years ago, don't get me wrong, it happens everywhere, but 5 years ago, it wasn't as intense as it is now. Like, something is really happening, and I believe there's going to be some explosions happening, you know, out of Tree of Life. And, you know, there's going to be a massive, massive move taking place, and the next mighty move of God is going to be through us, guys. Not just through a mighty rushing wind, but through our hands, through our mouth. The old covenant says his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. New covenant, we have the mind of Christ. We are carrying the resurrection power of God, guys. And we can go and release that, guys, everywhere we go. Whew, it's so amazing, guys. And you know what sometimes I find, and I've found people say that, we've got to be led to do this, Daniel. We can't just do this, we've got to be led. And that's kept people in such a place where I can't move now until I'm led. And guys, I'll be very honest with you guys, because I love you guys so much. You know, that's deception, guys. We don't need to be led. You know, it says in Matthew 10:7, as you go, preach the gospel. Not as you're led, but as you go. We step first, and as we go, we'll heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. Mark 16:15, we were reading it earlier. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. We need to go, go, go. 2/3 of the word God is go. Backwards, that word, 2/3 of it is do. It's amazing, guys. God is all about going and doing. But we don't do to get righteous. Because the blood and cross has made us righteous, we do from that place of victory. We don't do to get the victory. But because the power of the cross and resurrection has given us the victory, we now move from that victorious place, from that victorious status. I'm not trying to get to heaven no more. But as a saint, as a sanctified son of God, I'm now seated in heavenly places, as Ephesians 2:6 tells us. And now I'm facing sickness. I'm facing humanity. I'm sharing the love of God from heaven towards earth. It's amazing. I'm facing issues and problems and sickness from heaven towards that. It's amazing, guys. Let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. We can tap into this thing, guys. It's so amazing, guys. I feel that explosions are going to be taking place, guys. Now is the time for the Holy Spirit and the love of God to be spread on the highways, on the streets of Dagenham, on the streets of Watford, and all over the UK. I believe it's happening, guys, and no devil in hell can stop it. It's happening, guys, and I just love what's happening here, guys, at this church, getting trained, getting fueled to go out and heal the nations. That's dangerous, man. That is dangerous for the enemy. You know, I saw a vision in a hotel room in Scotland when we were praying. And I saw me with a bunch of guys, and we had backpacks on our back, like terrorists. We had bombs on our back. And as the vision went on the bombs was written love. It was like God was telling me that there's going to be explosions of radical love. And you have to be radical about this, Daniel. You're going to have to step out. People will reject. Some of the church folk will reject, but you're going to have to just go for it. And, you know, this thing, guys, of being so radical. You know, guys, if Muslims can die for what they believe, that's not the truth, then sorry, guys, we have the truth. We can believe and live in a conscience that we died and now we're never going to die. We're only going to go home. We're only going to move house when we go to heaven. We're here for a short space of time, guys, to leave a mark on this planet. And we can all do this, guys. You know, Muslims die for their faith, guys. And what happened is when I was in Germany, in Nuremberg, this was quite intense now. The conference finished and we were out into the town in Nuremberg. And one of my friends told me that, you know, like the people are quite open. And as we were walking, we saw a Muslim table. They had their leaflets. They were giving their leaflets out. Muslim table on the left, and there was a police riot van on the right. And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, Daniel, go in the middle of that gap and start preaching. And to be honest, it was a bit crazy. I just went for it without thinking twice, and I started doing it. And the Muslim started to get... The crowd that was around the Muslim table started to come and hear what I was saying. Because my heart was this, guys, that they're getting deceived being around that Muslim table. They're possibly en route now to hell, listening about, you know, Jesus in a false way and listening to how Jesus didn't die on the cross. And that's just antichrist, man. And I felt on my heart, God, I'm not having that, man. So I went and I stood there and the crowd came and formed around us now. And, you know, it's honestly God's grace, guys. The police van didn't even move. They started listening. You know, one of my friends said, Daniel, listen, like, you know, chill. But, you know... But the police, they were all listening. And then what happened was four souls came forward and said, listen, we want this. They surrendered their life to Jesus right there. Four young people gave their life to Jesus. And afterwards, what happened was one of the attendees from the conference came up to me. And she did, I can share my heart, guys, because this is just a family gathering. This is Tree of Life, so I just want to be very honest. It's our church, so I just want to be honest. She came and rebuked me and said, Daniel, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have spoke out loud. You're upsetting the Muslims and we're called to love them. And they're getting angry now. And they were there before us. They had that spot before us. So who are we to go and start disrupting them? And you know, guys, you know, this is where sometimes people think love is just gentle and love is demonstrated by flowers. And John 3:16 wasn't demonstrated by a bunch of flowers. It took blood being shed to redeem us and bring us back into the family of God and be sons of God. And I said, listen, sister, I'm all about loving people. I'm all about loving folk. But I love them four souls that just got added into the kingdom and are not going to perish now for eternity. And if I have to upset a few Muslim emotions, if I have to rattle a few cages, the gospel is offensive. And if I have to upset them for some souls to get added into the kingdom, then so be it. And I said, sister, the fruit speaks for itself. I don't want to just love and just give out flowers. I've been in that place where I've just loved and I'm not even getting souls added. I've been in that place where I'm just healing the sick, but I'm not even telling them about salvation. The souls is so much more important than anything else, because that's what's going to account for eternity. I was reading this Kenneth Hagin book, and it was, you know, when people get healed, but their sickness comes back again. You know, it's so important to be filled with the Spirit of God and rooted in the Word of God, because if the house is empty and the house isn't cleaned and swept, seven other demons can come back and it can be even worse. It's so important to be born again. And so what happened was I had to tell that sister that, listen, I do love. I love the four souls that just got added into the kingdom. And there was a crowd around that Muslim table that were being deceived and possibly being fed lies en route to hell. And that's demonic. And if I have to stand and break that, then that's love. And you know, Jesus said, greater love is this than for someone to lay down his life for his friends. You know, the maximum amount of love we can show to someone is to lay down our life. Not just through, you know, being happy. If a little child was about to run into the road and or run off a cliff, we're not going to run there with gentleness. We're going to run there with aggression. And we're going to go there and save that child, guys. It's amazing, guys. All I'm trying to say is, guys, sometimes, you know, people might find it offensive. Sometimes might find the gospel offensive and think love is just soft. Love is just gentle. But guys, love has action, guys. When Paul was hit on the road to Damascus by the presence of God, it wasn't just about him, you know, staying there and just experiencing the grace of God for himself and just experiencing the good. It was about that. Don't get me wrong. And that's beautiful. But he now transformed, was flipped over and had to go and share that and manifest that to the rest of the world. And he turned it upside down. Do you see what I mean, guys? Guys, this amazing truth that we carry, this revelation of God's grace and God's righteousness, guys, we're carrying it to a point that a lot of the body haven't got. Guys, let's go and spread this out, guys. Let's go and share this everywhere we go, guys, because if we have the cure to cancer, we'd be selfish not to share it. We have the cure to something more than cancer. We have the cure to every sickness, every demonic power, every power of hell, and it's the name of Jesus Christ. And we carry that name, guys. In Acts 3, verse 3, when it was the man at the beautiful gate, you know, the man was expecting money. And he said, you know, can I have alms? Peter and John said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. What he gave them was the name of Jesus. We are carrying the name of Jesus Christ. Forget our name for a minute. Forget Daniel, forget Christian, forget our name. When we use the name of Jesus, that's as if Jesus is speaking. It's deep, guys. And we are carrying that. With the name of Jesus, we are carrying. Let's go and cause damage to the kingdom of darkness. Let's go and destroy hell, guys. Because we are carrying this and we can all do this. And guess what, guys? It's effortless. Why? Because we died. It's effortless. Why? Because Jesus Christ took the difficult work for us. He was crushed at a very... It's a free gift, but it was very, very expensive. He was crushed for it, guys. Now, we get to enjoy it freely. And Matthew 10, 7 onward says, freely we've received, so freely we go and give out. We are called to be a light in this darkness, guys. We're the light of the world now. We're a city on a hill that cannot ever be hidden, guys. We've got a short space of time, folks. You guys are my brothers and sisters, and I love you so much, man. Yesterday we were 10 years old. Tomorrow we're going to be 60. As soon as we know it, our strength, guys, as we have strength, as we have, you know, the Holy Ghost, and as we have this in us, guys, let's use our strength and every bit of energy we've got to share this, guys. The guy on the other side of the petrol station might be perishing if he doesn't know Jesus. And we are carrying the solution to his problems. We cannot keep it in, guys. It's like a lion that wants to get out. It's amazing, guys. And guys, the beautiful thing is, guys, it's not something we have to do. It's not a chore. It's something we get to do. It's a privilege to be on the same team as Jesus Christ. It's an amazing privilege to serve and just go out and share this truth. And the motive is always the fact that he loved me first, and now I'm going to love others. I never try and get to know God in a place where I'm sweating. I'm trying to find him like he's hidden somewhere. He's not playing hide and seek. He knows me. And what I stand on isn't that I know Jesus, but that Jesus knows me. He has the hairs on my head numbered. The grains of sand that there is on all of the earth, he has more good thoughts towards me than all of them. So now he first loved me, I'm going to now love others. So my knowing him comes from a place of first receiving the truth that he knows me. He sees me righteous. He is my best friend. I am redeemed and connected back to heaven. Because sometimes, folk, we believe enough to get to heaven. We believe that, yeah, when I'm dying, I'm going to heaven. I'm saved and redeemed. But it's so amazing, guys, for now just to believe that now heaven can get inside of us and destroy hell and manifest on this planet. Because Jesus said, let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. And guys, you know what? Let's turn to Genesis 28. Hallelujah. I hope this is blessing you guys. Yeah. Genesis 28. I'm going to whiz through this really quickly. This is just something the Holy Spirit just quickly told me to read now. Verse 10. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head. And he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give you to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. And then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. He was lying on a rock. He was lying on a rock and he saw a vision of angels ascending and descending. And then in verse 17, he said, this is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. He referred to the house of God as the gate of heaven. What does a gate do? A gate in my house, it sort of divides and sort of, it's like a transition from the back garden and it will take you to the front garden. A gate. He referred to the house of God as a gate of heaven. Now, guys, in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, we are the house of God. We are now the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are now where the Spirit of God dwells. Now, the same way the house of God is referred to as a gateway of heaven. That's what we are, guys. A gateway of heaven, releasing something from the kingdom of heaven into the kingdom of earth. And how do we do that? By prophetic acts, by just loving folk, praying for the sick. It's amazing, guys. And what we said about going, just acting on the word and going, guys, let's go for it. Let's go for it, guys. No more waiting around. I had one friend I met at a conference a few years ago. Proper lovely guy. And, you know, and he was talking about some big things they were doing for God and stuff, like big crusades and that, which is so good. And what happened was, I was just so shocked, you know that was before everything. Before we were, like, you know, doing what we're doing and whatever. And a week later, I called him and I said, hey, bro, how's everything going? Like, how's things? Like, have you been out lately? You shared the love of God. Like, you know, how's things? How's fruit? How's, you know, just a catch up. He said, oh, I'm just waiting on the Lord before I move and do anything. I said, all right, man, that's cool. Sounded very holy and sounded like he was locked away in his closet. And, you know, I thought, wow, man, when am I going to get to them levels where I'm just waiting on the Lord? So I called this guy 6 months later and I'm like, you're right, mate. How's things going? And he goes, oh, good, I'm just waiting on the Lord. So I thought, wow, cool, still. A year went by, called him up again, and this brother is still waiting on the Lord. 2 years went by, 3 years went by, and still waiting on the Lord. Guys, as we're waiting and being in that place of not going out, guys, people are perishing. And I couldn't fathom the fact that, you know, how one can just wait on the Lord and just not move and spread this thing. Because the Gospels, you know, that I'm reading, you know, I was reading something incredible the other day about Andrew. You know, Andrew, when at one of the martyrs, Andrew, when they captured him and he was about to, you know, get crucified on an X-shaped cross. You know, he looked at the cross and he saluted it. And he said, I have been waiting for this glorious moment. The cross has been consecrated by the blood of Jesus Christ. And they hung him. And as he hung on that cross for 2 days, he was preaching to them. It's so crazy, guys. What I'm trying to say, guys, is that it's so, sometimes we can be so comfortable. But the Holy Spirit is called to comfort us. So sometimes we need to let him do his job and get a little bit uncomfortable. And it's sometimes healthy to get a little rejection on the street. I like a little slap in the face here and then. It just takes you back to that, you know, God, thank you. That doesn't define who I am. That doesn't define where I'm going. You do. And I'm rooted and I'm looking unto you, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Colossians 3 verse 1 says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Oh, it's so amazing, guys. Honestly, guys, you know, in military, in battle, when soldiers have been released to go out and do do the damage, to kill and do the task they've been released to do. When they're on that battlefield, they don't need a leading. They don't need to call up the commander and say, hey, commander, shall I chop off his legs? Or what way shall I go? What way shall I kill him? They've been commissioned and released to go and do what they're called to do. The same way, guys, Jesus said, as you go, go into all the world, preach the gospel. The same way, guys, our commander, our savior, our dad has released us. I love how that brother this morning was preaching and he called it, listen, Jesus has commanded you. You've been discipled to do this. That's pretty harsh, man. You know, sometimes I keep it to a loving relationship, God, and out of that overflow, you're doing it. But mate, there's some truth there. We're called to manifest this thing, guys. And I truly believe, guys, that there's young folk in here. You know, even you youngsters up there, guys, that God can use. Honestly, guys, and I honestly feel that out of sonship, of course, out of being in relationship with God, there's gospel warriors that are rising up in the UK. Gospel soldiers that are not going to be afraid of what people say. They're not going to be afraid of what Muslims or ISIS bring to the table. But we are filled with the spirit of power and love and simply acting on the word of God. We're just going to be going for it, guys. It's going to be amazing. We can all do this, guys. We can all do this because, guys, sometimes, guys, people are just waiting for a prophetic phone call. I'm only going to move if I hear the audible voice of God. I'm only going to move if God speaks to me. But, guys, it says in James chapter 1, verse 22, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. So if you're not hearing anything prophetic, just do the word. If you're, you know, instead of waiting for a phone call, let's act on these beautiful love letters where he has filled us with his nature. And now we are called to be a light in this dark place. We can do it, guys. Let me tell you something. Fear is a defeated foe. You know, that stuff can't stop us. When it comes, just rip it out. Laugh at it and that's shifted. It's not even a part of who you are. It's not even a part of your nature. We are carrying the DNA of God. We are born of the offspring of God now. How powerful is that? How unstoppable is that? That we are the offspring of God. We are born of him. That's so beautiful, guys. And my brothers and sisters, guys, if we truly believe that, guys, and we can, we all can, that he's dwelling in us, and now we are in him, almost like we're in him and he's in us. It's like we're sandwiched with him, and we can go out and just, you know, guys, the streets of Dagenham, the shops, the universities will not be able to remain the same. It will be impossible because there's resurrection power on the inside of each one of us, guys. You guys are so amazing, guys, and we can all do this, guys. We can all do this. It says, lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. Let's just do our bit and put our hands on them. Because a Christian putting his hands on someone may make the difference between someone living and someone dying. It's a life and death situation, guys. We're sons and daughters of God that are carrying life. We're carrying Jesus. We're like a signpost now. We are the way, the truth, and the life. We are now the first Bible they'll read. We are now the first Jesus they'll get into contact with. It's so amazing, guys. This is our identity. This is our nature, guys. I love you guys so much, man. We can all do this. It doesn't matter how old you are. We were in Austria. I was speaking at a Rhema church in Austria, and it was so amazing. They've been running the Bible school for like 21 years and so on the word. And they just were so encouraged because they had elderly women that have been studying the word for so long. And now they stepped out, guys, women that were 70 years old. And in Austria, they're quite reserved there. But these lot were going out on the streets, leading people to the Lord. Guys, 70 years old. Guys, if we have a lifespan of 100, and let's say we're on 50, we can either look back, like my brother said, let's just not even go there. We can either look back and think, this is what I could have done. This is what, you know, this is what happened. This is where I'm hurt. You know, I'll leave it to the next generation to now do. Or we can leave that where it is, turn around and know that, listen, I've got years left on this planet and I'm going to use that strength now to preach the gospel. I'm going to burn on this planet with every bit of strength that I've got. And we can all do it, guys. We can all do it. He's provided us the tools to do it. The heat is off. The pressure's off. We died with him. So it's not our confidence. It's not Daniel's strength. It's all him. We died and now he's manifesting through us. We are the righteousness of God. And as the righteousness of God, guys, let's extend out that righteousness. Let's manifest that grace, that unconditional love to folk everywhere. even if it's just getting someone a drink, even if it's just, you know, the people at the tree are so gracious, and you know, they already are. And if I'm just speaking to a couple of youngsters or even a minority in here, just to that little flavor of just, you know, just sharing it a little bit more, then guys, honestly, guys, I know that the fruit in this church is going to increase rapidly in the next couple of months. I believe that this church is going to blow up. And when just like the book of Acts, when the fire in the upper room fell, what happens when the fire of God fell? They weren't just feeling fuzzy. They went out and people got healed. People got added to the church. It's so powerful what God's about to do, guys. And the next mighty move of God is going to be through his children. Through ordinary sons and daughters. Not by one revivalist, but sons and daughters of the living God. It's so powerful, guys. And guys, we are fully loaded. We don't need any other anointing. I don't need Elijah or Elisha's double portion or triple portion if I'm carrying 100% of Christ in me, the hope of glory. We are carrying the resurrection power of God. And we're an unstoppable force, guys. We cannot be stopped, folk. This is beautiful. This is amazing. This is just a family gathering. And I know, guys, that, you know, there's been a holy provoking that has gone out today. A holy jealousy that, listen, if these lot can do it, we can do it. It's amazing, guys. You know, time's ticking, guys, in a nutshell. Just over 3 years ago, I was on fire for the devil. I got charged for kidnap. I got arrested at the age of 18 for the third time. And what happened was I was on a bent trail to destruction. And I was on bail for a year. And I wanted to move away from the situation and run away. And I ran away to university. I called up, I failed my A-levels, believe it or not. And I called up my university and I lied to them. And I said, listen, guys, I had a couple of deaths in my family. I was twisted, man. I just made up some twisted lies. I said, listen, guys, I was going to get the grades. Because of uncontrollable situations, I couldn't hit them grades. But I've got the potential. And they were like, okay, that's fine. We're very understanding when it comes to them sort of situations. What course would you like to pick? And on the top of my head, I picked a random course, film. Not even really into film that much. And I thought, you know, I've just lied myself into university. It was so twisted. And so I got to uni now simply to run away from the court case. I swept it under the carpet. And I ran away to the court case and I got involved with the wrong crowd even more. I moved to Tottenham in North London and I moved there and I got involved with the wrong friends even more. And it was so much, what we used to do, guys. So I love boxing. Boxing is my sport. And I was boxing for North London. And that is my passion. That was my passion back then. It was my God almost, boxing. That was the only thing that would keep me not eating junk food sometimes and keeping me disciplined. But even that would fail because self always fails. We make New Year's resolutions all the time. I will go to the gym. I will stop cigarettes. But the moment we put our confidence in I, we've missed it. And we're back down. We're back in that circle of failure. So I was thinking, you know what, God, with my strength, not even God, I said, you know what, boxing, I'll focus on you. You'll get me out of this mess. But that just led to even more violence. I was using that in nightclubs, getting drunk out. And it was just so wrong, guys. And what happened was one of my friends in my flat where I was living, and I'll never forget this moment, his name was Elias, and he spoke to me, and he saw that I was very scared, because now they were taking it to trial. They found where I was, and they were saying, we're going to take you guys to trial now, and I was scared. I thought, this temporary joy that I'm enjoying, I'm going to lose all of that. And my friends who was there saw that I was scared, and he said, look, Daniel, would you like to get out of this mess? I said, I'll do anything to get out. He said, I know someone who can get you out of this. I said, who? And he said, Jesus. And I laughed in his face because I thought he was taking a mick. Because I've heard about Jesus. I've heard about the prophet, you know, Jesus. I've heard about the baby Catholic Jesus. I've heard about Jesus, but I didn't personally know him and what he's done for me. And what he said to me was, Daniel, this ain't about the clothes you're wearing. He said, Daniel, this isn't necessarily about how many times you pray, how many times all that is good and is beneficial, but God is way bigger than that and he wants your heart. He sees you as a father to a son and he wants a relationship with you. And I said, listen, man, you know, I said, man, my earthly family have rejected me because of this. And now I'm hearing about a God of acceptance. And I made that decision to follow Jesus Christ. And I started reading this book. It got given to me by Smith Wigglesworth on faith. And I started reading this book and I was reading it. And I was just hearing Mark 11:23 and this crazy sort of faith. And I started reading it and I was on the way to the court case now. I was on the way to trial. Got to the court case, and I said on the train there, I said, God, if you're real, if you're really, really real, please get me out of this. I don't want to go to prison for 8 years. I just want another chance, and I'll do whatever you want me to do. And I got to the court case, and cut a long story short, the witnesses didn't turn up, the victim didn't turn up. It was just a twisted court case, and it collapsed. And we got set free that day. But the reason I have such a strong hold on the grace of God and the free gift of righteousness is because that same night, the enemy started whispering to me. My mind wasn't renewed to who I am and what I carry and how God sees me. And I straight away started hearing the enemies of the devil say, listen, Daniel, that wasn't God. That was just a coincidence. That was luck. These things happen. And my friends had bottles of brandy ready to celebrate and go out. And instantly the same night I got sucked in. They were smoking drugs and everything, and we all went out again that same night causing havoc. And the reason why I love God so much is because he kept tripping me over with his love. He didn't stop. You know, he didn't stop loving me just because I'm falling deeper in sin. It's like he was going even deeper to pull me out. And, you know, sometimes we focus so much on strongholds of depression and strongholds of sickness. Guys, this stronghold on righteousness and grace. So I was just thinking, man, we were out in the clubs again that night. We even went out into McDonald's, starting causing fights with people. And that same night, I was so drunk, couldn't even walk straight. Got back to my flat in North London. And I got there and literally, I just dropped on my bed and I woke up 3 hours later. Sorry guys, this is just a nutshell. This is just bite size, quickly. I woke up 3 hours later, no hangover, no headache. I felt the tangible presence of God in the room. It was crazy. I know he's in us all the time. This was like it manifested, his presence. And I woke up and I felt so much joy in the room. I started giggling. I started jumping. And I couldn't really fathom what it was. I started knocking on my friend's door, who was a Muslim, at 5 a.m. And I said, listen, because I had a knowing from deep inside of me that it was Jesus. Not just a mental, emotional feeling, but it was like I knew it was him. I started waking him up and he was half asleep. I knocked on my friend's door, who was Christian, and he just prayed with me. And he said, Daniel, this is it, man. This is it. No more looking back. It's done. And guys, from that, we just started going out and sharing this love. And we've seen so much fruit, guys, everywhere. And you know, it's been effortless, guys. It's simply out of relationship. And we can all do this, folk. We can all do this. I just wanted to share that to show you guys, no matter how long you've been in this, you know, and it's so important. The reason I keep going back to relationship and you know, the word, because it's like, that's everything. You know, constantly having my mind renewed every day and just being with him is a daily thing. Not just a Sunday, not just, you know, for Sunday. It's every day. You know what I mean? And it's so amazing being in that place where he became flesh in 1 John 14. But now we can become the word in flesh. We can manifest Jesus on earth. And honestly, guys, you know, time is so short, guys, and we can all do this, folk. You know, I was in, what happened was then, guys, I basically got saved and I got plugged into a local church in North London and just started going around. And, you know, my friend Tabba, who's at the back there, you know, he actually helped a lot. When my dad kicked me out because I wouldn't go back to their church, I stayed at his house. And the first conference I ever went to was at the XL, Kenneth Copeland, and mate, he was speaking on your words and how much power you carry. And we were just hearing so much word going out and just stuck into these books and into the word and into the new covenant and into the New Testament and just going out and sharing this. And so what happened, I went to this school now. Before that, you know, my family are all Catholics. My grandma is Catholic. You know, they've been Catholic all their life and christened and everything. And on New Year's Day, every New Year's Day, they pray to Mary and do the rosary beads and everything. And this time in 2013, I said, God, I'm going to share my testimony there. And I started sharing my testimony there. It was about 50 of them in a living room. And I started sharing my testimony to them. And I can see some of my cousins were just looking at each other, smirking, thinking Daniel's just going through a phase or whatever. And what happened is, as we started praying, guys, it was like this manifested presence of God just fell in the room. Where my cousin, who's 16 years old, been a Catholic all his life, was on the floor with electricity going through him. And no one knew what was going on. His mother was scared trying to wake him. And my brother, who was 19 at the time, felt a strong wind in the room. And it was like the presence of God, that manifested presence of God just fell in the room, guys. And it was so shocking because I never had a certificate. I wasn't ordained. I never had any preacher in the room. It was just me and, you know, a couple of my friends, and that's it. So I went home that day, and I said, God, you know what? And I knew, and I heard about this school of evangelism happening in London. And I didn't even know who Reinhard Bonnke was. I didn't even know who any of these guys were. It was alien to me. But I knew I had to be there. I heard some other guys talking about it. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go there. I feel I need to go there. And I called them up the next day. And I said, excuse me, sir. I need to be at this school. Can I come, please? Just like that, simply. And he said, absolutely not. Admin has been going on for the last 6 months. And apparently the men of God prayed over each application and stuff like that. And I just said, look, guys, I really feel I need to be here, guys. Can I please come? And they said, all right, we'll call you back in a couple of hours to let you know. They called me back and said, look, everything's gone through. You're going to this school of evangelism. So I thought, wow, I didn't know who anyone was. I got there and it was a massive queue all the way out. Everyone was in their groupies and I was just there on my own. Didn't know what was going on. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to go in here and God, I'm just all yours, man. Do what you want with me. Went in there and I heard them all speak and I just got wrecked, man. You know, it's not about laying hands on you guys, but this was something else. I got prayed for and I had electricity going through my body, guys. It was my personal encounter with, it was my personal day of Pentecost. I was on the floor, guys, with electricity going through me for hours. And I couldn't stop laughing. You know, it was crazy. And instantly, guys, when I snapped out of that, I knew I had to just go out. We went out the same day. Muslims were getting healed. And since then, guys, we just haven't looked back, guys. It's been such a roller coaster, man. I just thank God so much for the amazing people he's put around us that are on the word, that are, you know, and even being here at Tree of Life, let me just share just real quick. It's a testimony of itself that, you know, God really spoke to me and my wife about a church. And what happened was I was at a church in... I had a dream and I was at a church in Bedford and on the left I saw a map of trees of the UK with trees on it. This is crazy. And didn't know anything about this church or anything. And I was sitting in a 4x4 in the foyer. And I looked at that notice board and I just put my foot on the pedal and it crashed and smashed through the glass and I zoomed out of Bedford. Didn't know what it meant at the time. And we went to Andrew Womack's leaders conference last year. And what I wanted, what was on my heart was that would be in a radical church with a family atmosphere and a family environment. I remember saying to my wife, you know what, we're not going to find it, you know. We might just have to start our own or I don't know. We went to that Andrew Womack's conference and there's some guy next to me, I think his name was Philip Hand. Spoke to him and I said, listen, mate, didn't know him. And I said, do you know any churches that are around that are on this, you know, message and going out and spreading it like wildfire? And he pointed me to Ben. Soon as I went there, I saw a tree logo on his chest. And I'm the sort of guy, I don't really move by encounter straight away. I like being in the word and, you know, having a couple of confirmations sometimes. But so I thought, you know what, we're going to go to the church. And we're going to go to the church. And I thought, you know what, we're going to go there. And me and my wife went there. And we just knew this is where we need to be, guys. One of my friends, he's a pastor in Northampton, saying, listen, I saw Ben's status, his Daniel. This stuff's radical. I know why God's put you there now. Like, these lot are crazy. And I was like, mate, listen, it's on. What God's doing in the UK is on. And my heart is the UK. I have no desire to go over to the States to start preaching there. My heart is the UK and a Europe. And I believe it's happening. We're seeing so much fruit. Now is the time, guys. Now is the time, guys, for the gospel to be spread, for the Holy Spirit to manifest on the streets of Dagenham, on the streets of Watford. There's no more waiting around. Hebrews 1:3 says he purged our sins and went and sat down at the right hand of God. He didn't sit down because he had a chair there. He always had a chair there. He saw Satan fall like a flash of lightning. He didn't sit down because he was the Son of God. He's been the Son of God from the beginning. He sat down because he finished the work, guys. We are not called to wait around for revival anymore, guys. We are revival. And guess what, guys? We are not waiting for God to move anymore. He's moved. There's no more waiting, guys. We can't wait because he's moved. He became flesh, shed his blood, died on the cross, resurrected, and now he's seated there. We cannot afford to wait for him to come back and do anymore. I saw an amazing picture the other day on Facebook, and it was a Christian talking to Jesus saying, oh, Jesus, these famines and all these sicknesses, these natural disasters, why do you let them happen? Jesus said, listen, I was about to ask you the same question. Why do you let them happen? Guys, it's amazing, guys. Wherever the sole of our feet tread, we have dominion over that place. We're carrying this, guys, and we can all do this, guys. It's amazing, guys. You know what, guys? I don't ever go by feelings. I don't like to. You know, there's certain times we felt heavy. We felt, you know, God's, we felt voices saying, don't go and pray for someone. We've done it. They've got healed. But today, guys, as I'm speaking, I feel an electricity going through my arms right now. It's for the last half hour. I've been ignoring it because I want to get out what's on my heart. But it's, all I know is, guys, God's doing something, man. He's marking folk. Smith Wigglesworth had an amazing prophecy that he gave that the mighty move of God will come from the UK. It will come from the UK when the Word and the Spirit come together. It's going to be an explosion, and it's going to come out of the UK, spread into Europe and all the parts of the earth. Guys, we can swim in this. We can be a part of this, guys. God doesn't just want us to spectate on the sideline, but get stuck in, get involved, guys. And we can do this, guys. If we just all stand up for a moment, I'm just going to invite Chris and Vaughn to just bring us in a place of worship for a moment. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ. Guys, let's just look to Jesus for a moment. Let's just surrender for a moment, guys, because what's happening, guys, is so amazing in the UK. It's happening, guys, and this isn't just an ordinary conference that we're going to be coming to every year and year out. There's generals and spiritual giants being birthed out of here, and the fire of the Holy Spirit is going to burn with the rhema, the Word of God, together on the streets and the highways of London. It's happening, guys, and no devil in hell can stop it. Let's just look to Jesus for a moment, guys. Let's just raise up our hands and just surrender to Him for a moment. This is amazing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What a good dad. Hallelujah. Wow, hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm just going to ask Ben to come forward to pray with me for a moment. Guys, let's just surrender, guys. Just look to Jesus. It's all about Him. It's not about a man laying hands on you, guys. The Holy Spirit wants to explode through you. I'm just going to ask if there's any one of you, even if there's one or two of you, because, guys, it's always been a minority. Jesus was a minority. Paul and Peter were a minority, but they flipped the place upside down. Guys, I just want to say, if there's, even if it's a handful of you, guys, if you feel that I've been speaking to you today, guys, I just want you to come forward. I just want to pray for you guys for a moment with Ben, and we're just going to pray for you guys. The fire of God just wants to burn, and what I was hearing, that people are going to get marked for eternity from this conference, where they're going to be marked by the Word and the Spirit, where they'll never backslide. They're going to be marked by the Word of the Spirit, where they'll never look back anymore. Where's Tanya? Tanya, come forward right now, wherever she is. Hallelujah. If I've been speaking to you today, I want to ask you to come forward right now, guys. Just surrender. It's all about Jesus, guys. We can all do this. We're fully loaded. Let's just look to Jesus, guys. Just thank you, Holy Spirit.
Give you my soul.
Yeah. Come forward, guys. Let's just look to Jesus, guys. Just look to Jesus. Spiritual giftings are active. Activated. No more waiting around. It's on. Now is the time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If we could just have some of the ushers and some of the team just come forward. Just look to Jesus, guys. Just look to Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the fire of the Holy Spirit. Fire of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. The Holy Spirit in us is great. For the power that's dwelling in us and on us is for others. And it's going to shine and be contagious of others. Fire of the Holy Spirit. Lord, there is this marking folk right now. Depression is leaving bodies right now in Jesus' name. Arthritis is leaving bodies right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. But you know what's amazing? Generals are being raised right now. Soldiers for the gospel of Jesus Christ are being raised right now. That you guys are going to go out and break chains. You guys are going to go out and destroy hell. You guys, because a Christian laying his hands on someone will make a difference between them living and dying. Guys, there's a joy that's just breaking out in this place. Just laugh, guys. Laugh at the devil. Laugh at the plans of the enemy. Hallelujah. Laughter is medicine for our soul, guys. Laugh. Just laugh at the enemy. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Esther.
Guys, we're all going to pray for this woman right now because we're all carrying this. Let's go. Discs in the lower back are being restored right now. This is amazing what's happening, guys. You know what? If you could just pray for the person next to you, guys. Let's just pray for a couple of moments. Just pray for the person next to you, guys. Everything God has for them will come to pass. Hallelujah. We're an unstoppable force. Fire of the Holy Spirit. Fire of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Never the same again, God, and my brothers and sisters. Thank you for a burning desire for souls. A holy jealousy. A holy aggression. Hallelujah. Wow, thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Wow. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Guys, one final word from me, guys. Spiritual warfare, I'm just hearing the Holy Ghost say this. Spiritual warfare is not just binding up imaginary devils, but spiritual warfare is when you see a sick person and the devil is using cancer and using their body as a battleground and he's destroying their life. That's warfare right there, guys. Let's put our hands on them, guys. That's all it is. God bless you, guys.
Praise God. Praise God.